For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk to Lauren Williams. She does a terrific job of covering our Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Lauren, L-Dub, what are we going to do? Everybody is talking about this draft. I want to start there before we start talking about all the rumors and stuff. What are you hearing? What do you think the best option for us is with the number one overall pick?
You know, the Hawks are keeping themselves pretty tight-lipped over there, you know, in their practice facility in Brookhaven. But what we're seeing is, of course, you know, the rumors coming out about who so far has worked out. And right now, you know, Alexander Sarr hasn't been among those who've been reportedly working out with the team. But we have seen that reportedly. Of course, Donovan Clingan and Zachary Risacher have been in the building. And so it's clear that the Hawks are going after some size. Those are among the things that we know that they need. I'm partial to Alexander Sarr just because, you know, we understand that Clint Capella's contract will be up after this upcoming season. They're going to need to kind of replenish their depth at center. We know they still have Onyeka Okongwu. You know, we have no idea what they're necessarily going to do when it comes to making trades or deals or anything like that. But from what we've seen, you know, Onyeka isn't necessarily the most durable right now, even though he's still on the young side of things. He missed the latter half of the season with that left big toe sprain. You know, he's missed some time in his first couple of seasons. And so they're definitely going to want to add some depth and size there. Of course, they could get that with Risacher and his ability to defend multiple positions. We know that he has the offensive tool set that, you know, kind of meshes well with a Quinn Snyder system. And they haven't really had many guys who can cut to the basket, and Risacher has shown that he's kind of a natural cutter and can make plays on his own. Of course, you've seen some of the rumors that Quinn Snyder seems to be partial to Donovan Clingan and what he can do. And we saw what he can do in the national championship game against Purdue and Zach Edey. So we know he can go toe-to-toe with some big guys and really wreak some havoc down low. So, yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit, I think, with either of those three players. They seem to be the guys that are linked to the Hawks the most. And I think this is one of those drafts where if they take either of those three guys and say maybe they don't work out in the future for whatever reason, you can't really fault them for taking that gamble just because this draft does not have the star power that drafts of the past as well as next season or next year's draft seem to have as well.
Risacher is like a poor man's SGA. We talked about Alexander Sarr is like an Evan Mobley, or I like him to like Jaren Jackson from the Grizz. And then you mentioned Donovan Clingan. They compare him to like Walker Kessler, Marc Gasol. Those are the comps you see that are written about him. So, but do they have to do that at one? You think they'll try to trade out of one?
You know, I honestly don't think they should trade out of one. Just
nor do
specifically
I.
Because this draft isn't necessarily a draft that has a lot of strength. I think they should take advantage of what they can get. And we know that if they're going to trade that number one pick, they're going to have to likely attach some assets to it. So unless they're getting something back that really pushes the needle, which it's hard for me to see happening, you know, with this draft that people are going to be willing to give something up. I think they could keep that draft pick because they could get somebody who could be a solid role player for some time. And we know that they need depth. We know that they need size. And so far, you can't go wrong with gambling on a guy who's 7'2", 7'3", has a 7'5" wingspan.
Yeah, Lauren, I feel like when we look at this draft, there's a lot of unknowns, but you can't teach size, right?
No.
And that's one element that we have lacked.
Right.
Is size. You put Jalen back into the mix. Maybe they make a deal with Clint, as you talked about. You add Sarr. All of a sudden, the one thing we've lacked is something that now may be a strength for us moving forward. So the draft, by the way, guys, is June 26th. We're talking with Lauren Williams here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now about the rumors, because I know you've seen it. A lot of stuff out there. Bill Simmons came out and said he thinks both are going to get traded. Talking about DJ and Trey, and I was like, are you crazy? What are you hearing, and what do you think is really plausible?
You know, I think it's more likely that, you know, DeJounte Murray is the guy that won't necessarily be back next season, just because with Trey Young, you have that massive contract that he's under for another few years. DeJounte Murray's contract is a little bit more digestible, or might make teams more amenable to picking up the phone. He has a little bit more size to him than Trae Young, though we understand that Trae Young will command more value. So of course, they're going to dangle his name out there, somebody who might be available for a deal. But unless you're getting a couple of picks back to kind of make up for what you lost in that DeJounte Murray trade, it's hard for me to justify putting Trey on the trading block. So that's why I think it's more likely that you see DeJounte Murray be the guy that they try to move on from. And particularly with the three guys that we named, Trey Young would be a great pick and roll partner for a guy like Donovan Clingan or even Alexander Sarr. With Risa Shea's cuts to the basket, you can see Trey do some of those pocket passes that he can take advantage of. So, yeah, it's hard for me to see them moving on from both guys, particularly because we know what their draft situation is in 2025. They don't have a first-round pick. It's a pick swap with San Antonio in 2026, and then they don't have a pick in 2027. And so maybe they get that pick from Sacramento in 2025 if, you know, it's outside of that protected range. I think it's like 1 through 13 or 1 through 11 for 2025, and then it conveys to a second-round pick. So it's just hard for me to see them kind of tearing the wall down completely and going in the direction of a rebuild because they don't have a lot of draft flexibility for the next 3 years.
It is Lauren Williams, guys. Williams, Lauren L, by the way, if you follow on Twitter, from the AJC here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, yeah, I mean, we all know they get more for Trey. Mm-hmm. Do we have any inkling? You know, is there anybody in the organization that has, I mean, do they have the backbone? There'd be some backlash from the fan base because, yes, to move Trey and admit you screwed the whole thing up.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, by trading for DeJounte.
It's true.
I mean, I think we can sort of understand from what they've said, you know, over these last few months, from how they didn't seem to commit to whether or not Trae Young would be in the lineup, in the rotation. Even Trey himself was saying, you know, you can read between the lines a little bit. As much as he says he wants to be here and he hopes to win in Atlanta, he also emphasized how much he wants to win. And so we have no idea publicly what this team's plan is. The only thing that we can, you know, take straight from their mouth is that they're not willing to do deals that are going to maybe be good in the short term that might help them long term. And, you know, the next question that you'd want to ask Landry Fields is, well, what do you want to accomplish long term? And so, you know, it's just tough. Of course, trading Trey might work for them in the short term, maybe even trade, you know, it's we can't figure it out. That's the thing. So I think how they attack the draft, and then obviously how free agency kind of unfolds. But I think the draft really is maybe the beginning of us maybe seeing what exactly that plan is and who the foundational piece is. I mean, I think you can point to Jalen Johnson definitely because of how he broke out last year. But right. even when you ask if Trey is in that sort of foundation, they won't commit either way. So, yeah, I do think they have the balls if they have the right deal in front of them that Trey is somebody that they would trade. But, yeah, it's tough to kind of figure out what this team is. And from my conversations, again, they're pretty tight-lipped about what it is that they're trying to do.
And just one last question. I was talking to Carl Yus about this, Lauren. You know, the trade exception, they've got about $23 million mm-hmm. in change they could use. It has to come in a trade. And then I found mm-hmm. out there's an article in SI, which I presume is accurate, says you've got to shed some salary, at least a million here, a million there, before you can do that. So mm-hmm. are they just going to let that marker go? And not? I was thinking maybe trade for somebody on another expiring contract just to see if you can get some traction. Maybe let trade Capella and bring somebody in that can maybe have an impact.
Yeah. It's, again, it's tough for me to see them actually making that happen just because they've had a year to use it. They didn't do anything at the trade deadline, which would have been the perfect time for them to try and kind of chip away at that trade exception. Of course, they don't have to use it all on one person. They could use it on multiple players up until that $23.8 million, which is, you know, a really good deal if you think about it. If you can bring in some young talent that can have an impact right away and keep it under that $23 million threshold, definitely. But we've seen that they've had a hard time either waiving guys, moving on from guys. They didn't have a lot of roster flexibility. They didn't, you know, for example, sign Veet Krejci toward the end of the season. So it's really hard for me to imagine a world where they do end up using that trade exception. Just because based on things that I've heard, it's whenever they're meeting guys at, you know, those phone calls, they're having some pretty high asking prices that, you know, might not necessarily sway another trade partner in their direction. Obviously, you know, you commend them for asking high, but sometimes you got to make sure that you're asking within reasonable parameters and teams aren't going to part with, you know, other players that they think are part of their foundation as much as you might be dangling a pretty nice piece in front of them, if right. that makes any sense. So we'll see how reasonable they are with some of the deals that maybe they're trying to negotiate between now and the draft. Of course, you might not see any of those until draft night. But yeah, from everything that I've been hearing, it just seems that their asking prices are always a little bit on the higher side.
Lauren Williams, always a pleasure to talk with you. We have no idea where this thing's going to go. By the way, what do you make of these NBA? We don't. I mean, seriously. Right. I mean, and Lauren, she talks to everybody. She's all over this.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. Nobody knows. What do you think about the finals, by the way, before we let you go? Mike and I were just talking about Luka and his lack of defense and how we killed Trey. Not us, but you know, the fan base, about his lack of defense. Yeah. And I think Luka's been exposed in these NBA finals.
Yes. Not even just that, but the you know, Trey gets the flack for it too with how he speaks to referees and tries to rally them to his side with calls or lack thereof. And I think people are really starting to see that Luka does the same exact thing. I think people knew in theory that he did that, but they didn't know how bad it was. And so I've always thought that they're kind of players that are very similar in a lot of different ways. And obviously that started all the way back to the Hawks trading back in the draft and Luka going to Dallas. Trey ended up going to Atlanta. But I think we're really starting to see some of those similarities and Luka's kind of getting the criticism that Trey has had to deal with for so long now. So it'll be interesting to see how he pivots moving forward, especially because you're seeing information come out that they've been trying to reason with him for years. You saw Brian Windhorst have that sort of diatribe last night about Luka's performance and asking, you know, the bench to challenge that call. And looking back at how Trey's kind of handled some of those situations, you know, I don't think I've ever remember him seeing cussing out the bench to ask for a call review. I mean, he might be adamant, but I don't think I've ever seen him cuss out the bench. You know what I mean? But I've been really impressed with how Boston has been handling everything. You know, I think this is just kind of, if they're able to sweep this series, I really do think it's sort of the cherry on top is to really shut people down about them having sort of an easy way to that championship. I mean, you don't just sweep anybody. The Mavericks were by far the better team in the West after the first three rounds of the playoffs. So for them to do what they're doing to a team that's as stacked as the Mavericks are, I think that to me tells us that they were the best team in the NBA this past season.
No doubt. And I question their toughness. Jaylen Brown has answered that.
He's the main.
He's the guy.
Absolutely. Drew Holiday is who he is, and how he played those first two games, even last night, was just absolutely phenomenal.
Totally agree. Lauren, we got to run. Thank you again. Hope you're enjoying the summer, and we'll see what happens with this draft. We'll have you on soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.